celebrating their 20th year in radio broadcasting with views not heard in the news, the International Taz and Paula Show interviews experts from all walks of life, bridging research and personalized journeys, revealing new ways to unleash life with a passion of a heartbeat. And now, here's Taz and Paula.
Well, here's to an incredible day for all of our listeners, wherever you are. I'm constantly being reminded over the last couple of weeks that each second is certainly a gift, bearing a flash of a moment never to return. And at times, that moment simply will change us forever. I'm sure that many of you also have had that experience before. And with our brilliant guest today, that could certainly happen. Paul Barbereau is an author, healer, teacher, and an avid health researcher. His strength is that he can take complex subjects and deliver the package with a high degree of understanding. Paul simply zeroes in and ignites the core basics of energy healing. Paula, at the moment, I'm getting the distinct feeling that we as humans and our planet are syncing up, like connecting and becoming more consciously aware, in which all obstacles can be transformed into opportunities. Our thinking process, I'm feeling, is allowing us to be more in total touch with our immediate presence at all times. I wonder if others are feeling this too. You are now listening to the International Taz and Paula Show. I'm Taz.
And I'm Paula. Well, Taz, from all the people we've interviewed lately, this certainly is sounding like what you said is so true. Our guest, Paul Barbereau, is a real hands-on healing pioneer. And he'll be pulling out of all the stops to ignite your healing at a free upcoming evening event, which will be Friday, March 25th. A full 90 minutes, 7:30 to 9, at the East West Bookstore in Mountain View. And the address there is 324 Castro Street. And everyone will be able to experience healings that evening. Then, on Saturday the 26th, a full workshop. It will be between 1 and 4. Paul has completed his fourth book on tribal healing, appropriately named Two Shamans and a Healer. And it'll be out in a couple of weeks. And all the attendees who will be at the East West Bookstore, well, it's going to be like a PBS special. You will not want to miss this. You won't need 5D glasses for this. The result will speak for itself. Paul, it's such a great pleasure to have you back with us again. Welcome to our show.
And thank you for inviting me.
Well, this hour is going to be a lot of fun talking about all the healing opportunities that you bring to our people.
Well, you know, you have this new book on the shelf, and it's ready to pop here in a week or so. And it's called Two Shamans and a Healer. Now, that title is really amazing, and I wonder if you might share how that title came about.
Okay. Yes. I was born a healer as far back as I can remember. 3 and 4, I was a healer. From a long line of healers, I had uncles, my grandmother and my mother all were RNs. My uncle was a nurse assistant in World War II with the soldiers, so I'm from a long line of healers. And I would work on my friends and family, and I would get good results, and I thought I was pretty hot, except as I got a little older and a little later in life, I lost 5 major close best friends. Now, it's one thing if an acquaintance dies, but I take it personally when a close best friend dies, because, number one, I lose my best friend, And number two, I was unable to help them. So I asked the universe, what am I missing here? Because I was pretty good, but I wasn't getting the results that I wanted. I also lost two siblings that were like best, pick of the litter is what I call them, from a family of 12. And everyone died younger than me except for my uncle Victor, who died maybe, he was probably 20 years older than I at the time. And I really took that personally. So I asked the universe, what am I missing? And they said, go out there and seek your answers. By the way, I'm an angel whisperer. So when I paint myself into a corner, I ask my angels and I say, what do I have to do here? And they'll tell me. And the answers come pretty quick. And I've run into all other angel whisperers and we compare notes. And the nice thing is the notes actually match up. I'm getting a little bit off track here. So I'd go to these conventions, these health conventions, like the Whole Life Expo and the Living Arts Expo and these Cancer Society meetings and all kinds of places where healers converge. And I'd corner anyone who I could corner, your doctors, your chiropractors, your Asian natural medicine people, just anyone who I could corner, your energy healers, your sound healers, your homeopathic healers. And I'd ask them, what am I missing here? And they would give me these complex, sometimes not even understandable answers, and I left very, very unsatisfied. Well, one day I was in Alaska. This was in July of 2008 now, quite a number of years ago now, and there was a shaman out in the middle of a great big field. It was probably two city blocks by two city blocks. Everything in Alaska is big and spread out, huge. And he was doing a ceremony, and I said, well, I'll wait till he gets done with his ceremony, and I'll go up and introduce myself and ask him some questions. Now, sometimes when I'm talking to people, I don't know where these questions are coming from. They simply come from the other side through me, and it even surprises me. So I walked up to this guy, and his name is Running Deer. He got done with his ceremony. He had a little blanket out there and some bones and rocks and sticks and other things that were important to him on this blanket, and he was barefoot in a 50-degree day in Alaska. And when he was done, I introduced myself. I'm part Mohawk, so that was my introduction. I said, look, I'm part Mohawk, and I need to know a little bit about Native American healing. Out of all the chakras and pressure points on the body, because, you look at these Asian charts, and they're all in Chinese, and they have all these maybe 200 to 300 points on the body, I said, what's the most important? And he said, I'll tell you something. You can put all that aside for a while and listen to what I'm telling you. He said, there's six spots on the body that are most important. He said, the forehead, the front heart, and the dantian, and on the back of the body, the occipital, the back heart, and the sacrum. And he said, when you work on these points, it releases past trauma the fastest. And number one, I'd never heard that past trauma was significant in your life. And number two, I'd never heard of these points as being important, although I was familiar with the chakras. Now, when I write my books, I don't put the word chakra in there because people can be confused with the concept, but they all understand front and back heart. They all understand occipital and dantian and all that. So I asked him, how do you release the early trauma then? And he said, well, your hands are jumper cables, or they're like jumper cables, and you connect one circuit with the other, like, say, front heart to either back heart or forehead or dantian or sacrum, and you let the energy drain. And I said, well, how do you know if there's energy there? He said, oh, it'll get warm or cool, or you'll feel an imbalance. So I had this information. I didn't know what to do with it. It was so different than what I was doing before. What I did before was more like massage or more like distance healing or more like just om, now you're better, om. And I wasn't getting the results I wanted. About a month later, I ran into a Native American shaman in Santa Cruz. Now, I'd known this guy for a while. His name was Crowman, a.k.a. Charles Hawkins, who was a Muscogee Creek native. And I believe he was full-blooded. And he was a shaman. He spent a year in the hospital in a coma after a car accident as a kid, and he made the connection with the other side and with healing information. And one day I was in his living room, and we were just talking and goofing around. And like I said, these questions come from the other side. And all of a sudden, you know, we're just joking and smoking and goofing around. And this question comes through. I said, you know, when the Native American medicine person is in the tent and he's going, hi-ya, 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 and he's got a little drum and there's a fire going and the smoke and the injured warrior is stretched out on the cot and he's doing this dance for 4 hours at a time. I said, what's really going on? And he said, well, he's calling on the man's ancestors and angels and family members and tribe and everyone he knows to be a part of the healing. And I said, my God, he's got a waiting room full of all kinds of other injured warriors. I mean, isn't that a waste of his time? And I was actually poking fun at him, and he got real quiet, and if I wasn't Native American, I don't think he would have said what he said next. He got real quiet and said almost inaudibly, we heal as a tribe or group. If your tribe is sick, you will not stay well. Ooh. And I said,
wow.
I said, my God, what did you say? And he said, a little louder, he said, if your tribe is sick, you will not stay well. And I said, is that how it works? Now, I had been searching for this for many, many years, and I actually had quit going to these cancer conventions and to these, you know, whole life expos and things like that because I had actually given up asking, and I had actually accepted that I will never find the keys to healing. When he said that, everything shifted, and I said, I quit healing. I said, I can't go back to doing what I was doing, but I didn't know what to do. So one day, I had this practice, and I had all these people coming to see me every week, and I would work on them, and I would charge them money, and they'd give me money, and I called some of my better clients, and I said, come on over here. I want to work on you for free. I've got some new stuff to try on you, and this old lady comes on over, and she's 80 years old, and I'm working on her for about an hour, and the energy isn't moving, 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 and I said, out of frustration, I said to her angels, what do I have to do to get this energy to move? And they said, put one hand on, now she's face down on the massage table, and she's covered with blankets, and they said, put one hand on her sacrum, and one hand on her occipital. And I said, well, that's what the shaman said to do. And I put one hand on her sacrum and one hand on the occipital, and there was a spark. And I said, okay, the body's made out of water, and it takes a lot of energy to make a spark. I don't know how much energy it takes to make a spark, but body's made out of water, and there's a spark, and where did that spark come from? And they said, early childhood trauma. And I said, the lady is 80 years old. And she's been to every healer in the Bay Area. I said, how come that energy never got discharged? And they said, they never even got close. And I'm saying, out of 80 years of, or whatever number of years she's been seeing healers, and she had pain. So I worked on her for about 20 more minutes. Well, she lost 10 years off of her face in 20 minutes. Now, an 80-year-old person has some wrinkles and some lines and some pain registered in the face. And when she got up off the table, I did not recognize her. And I said, where did Mary go? And she said, I'm Mary. And I said, would you do me a big favor and go down the hall and look in the mirror and tell me what you see in the mirror? And so she goes down the hall, and she looks in the mirror, and she says, I remember that's what I looked like when I was young. So I didn't think anything of it. I said, wow, this is great. You know, doing what the shaman said. It's like somebody handed me like a 10-pound gold brick and I had no idea what I had. And I didn't think much of it and I just wrote it off and said, well, that's fine, well and good. But I saw her at a party about 6 months later, and her face did not go back to looking like it was wrenched with pain. And I said, oh, my God, is it permanent? Now, I don't use the word permanent. I use the word long-lasting, because there's certain words you can't use in the healing arts in this country. Okay. So then I called. So I asked my angels, what do I do with this? This is significant. I said, this can change a lot of people's lives for the better. And they said, well, write a book about it. And I said, well, you've got to give me the book because, you know, I'm not that bright. And, you know, you got to give me the material because I don't know anything about this. And they said, fine, we'll give you the information as you need it. And I said, fine. Well, I started working on people, started doing this method, and all I'm doing is connecting two or three points in the body and getting a result, and the energy drains and the people get better. And I've had pain levels go from a 9 or an 8 down to a 2 and not ever increase from the 2 again in about an hour's worth of time, which means I was getting far better results. Then what happened is I discovered the ACE study by Kaiser Permanente. This was a study done by Kaiser with 17,000 people back in 2003. And what they did is they correlated early childhood trauma with later adult disease. And in their study that was published in 2003 in the medical journals, they said, tell us of your early childhood trauma and we will tell you what diseases you will be susceptible of getting as an adult. And I said, wow, this study is amazing. This study just saved me $1 million and not having to do it myself. And it was from a legit source. And so I called the doctor that did the study. He's down in San Diego. And I said, doc, has the test of time borne out the results of your study? And he said, it's more true today than it was 10 years ago. And I said, wow, this is great. And I said, someday when I do a PBS special, could I send a film crew down there to have you do an interview and tell about your study and the results and what you found and all that? And he said, I've been waiting for this call for 10 years. And I said, okay. Now, I haven't put the PBS special together, but the story is so significant, and his study is so significant. And I said, doc, why isn't anyone doing this? And he said, well, you know, when the study first came out, there was all this rah-rah, and this is so great, and we love this, and TV appearances and talk shows. And he said, nobody's doing it. And I said, well, I'm doing it, except I don't focus on figuring out the pain. I'm into resolution. I want to balance this energy and get these people up and going again. And so I've come up with this method. Now, okay, here's the evolution of where this is going. At a certain point, I said, okay, now that I have something that works, if I was to work on just one person at a time, by the time my life was over, let's say I live another 20, 30 years, I will not have made a significant impact on this planet, healing-wise, because I'm only doing one person at a time. So I asked my angel one night, very, very late at night, because I ask late at night just before I go to sleep, and then they give me the answer about 3 in the morning. And this is pretty routine. I do this almost every day. I said to them, how do I go global with this? How do I heal large groups of people? And they gave me the information where I put together a book called Healing Our Community. And that was a group process where I can take 10 or 15 or 100 or 1,000 people, heal them all at once. That is, get their energy to balance in every person's body, including people that don't want to take part in the process. And I thought that was pretty hot. And then I said, well, even if I do groups of 100 people, I'm still not going to make that great a planetary impact. And I was happily writing or editing one of my books recently, and the angels tapped me on the shoulder, and they say, what we want you to do is work on holographic programming, and programming the universal hologram. That is our wish. And I said, get out of here. You know, you guys bother me enough. Now, I mean, talking back to the angels is not recommended. Let me put it that way. And I said, look, I'm busy editing this book, and this is so important to me, and I don't need to hear from you right now, and I'm doing fine. And they said, no, we want you to drop everything, pull out a sheet of paper, and start writing. Now, my relationship with the angels is good enough to where when they speak, I go along with what they say. So I pulled out a sheet of paper, and I typed universal holographic programming. And I said, okay, guys, what do you got? And the information started pouring out. Now, since I'm an angel whisperer, I hope I'm not boring you with this story. Since I'm an angel whisperer, they talk to me. They just give me information. I am an open, willing receptor of information for them, and my role is I'm their secretary. I write this stuff down as they give it to me, and then I look at it, and there's times I'll read even my early works, and I'll say, my, look what we got here. And when I read it, there's this distance between me and the work. It's like it's their work. I just simply took down the dictation, and so this was dictated to me. Now, towards the end of our talk today, we'll do a little meditation that was also dictated directly to me. And when I give talks, I say, hey, look, people, you know, I'm up here telling you about this, but this information comes from the other side. You know, I am the secretary to the book. I am a secretary to the angels and to the information. And I say to them all the time, why me? And they say, why not? You know, you're here. You're open. You're available. And so what we've got here in this process is several sheets of paper that have a process down that anyone can do, where you invite your angels and ancestors and family members and friends, what I call your entire tribe, the great healers of all time, and then you ask them to ask their tribes to join you. So you have this enormous quantity of beings participating in this meditation. And sometimes it's a bit overwhelming to me when I think about it. And so you say, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to reprogram the universal hologram from fear and anticipation and worry and doubt and conflict and get them before they get you. And what we're going to do is we're going to value, we're going to program into this hologram conflict resolution, peace, love, harmony, getting along, being willing to compromise at all costs rather than go to battle. And we simply have to shift a paradigm that's going on this planet that we've outgrown. Basically, what it boils down to is the transformation from darkness to light, which the universe and the angels and the entire spiritual realm is all in favor of. And I've been aware of this for many, many years, that the angels have wanted us to be more peaceful and more forgiving and more, to negotiate rather than to battle.
Paul, you know what? This seems like a quantum handshake for new life. This is like, you know, I talk about tribal group healings. It's like each individual that has their own group behind them can be healed. This is just tremendous what you're
now
talking about.
I have a question, Paul. Does this include our ancestors?
Okay, yes. Stanford recently did a study on your DNA and your body. They found that your DNA goes back at least 100,000 years, and the reason why they can't measure any further than that is because that's the limit of their ability to test. So I'm saying if your DNA in your body represents 100,000 years of ancestry, basically the... Okay, this is so important. I believe your DNA is a tiny little part of the universal hologram. And guys like Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden say, I should say Dr. Bruce Lipton and Dr. Greg Braden, say that your DNA is programmable and by your thoughts, and that there may be a relationship between your DNA and the universal hologram. And I'm saying, what if that's true? You know, where can we take this? Now, this goes global so fast and so big. When you start asking your ancestors to bring their ancestors and their guides, and now, can you imagine inviting Princess Diana or Gandhi or Jesus or the apostles or the disciples or St. Paul or some of the great healers of all, St. Francis, St. Anthony, and you ask them to bring their tribes into the healing process, into the meditation. Wow. You know, Mother Teresa. And you say, look, you know, since we're doing this meditation, why don't we invite all these people? And then invite your angels, your guides, your masters. At a certain point, in a way, you've got the whole world in your hands.
Yeah.
And you say, you say, we are ready for the transformation from darkness to light. We are, okay, the guides of the planet have been waiting for the critical mass to be reached. And so now that we're there, and now that we're in an age of transformation, why not call these great healers and have them invite their tribes to be a part of this, and then let's do it. Let's get it on. You know, and so it is, and so it is. And it's a matter of, you know, I'm humbled by how fast this thing grew.
Can multiply? Yeah.
Yeah, because I actually started on this project mid December, having no interest in it whatsoever before then, but just mid-December, things started going very, very big, very, very quickly, and you know, the process was given to me, the information, you know, a chapter or two in the book was given to me. Now I'm still working on the Two Shamans and a Healer book, but there's going to be a small section in the book that that mentions that it's possible now to reprogram the universal hologram, and you do that with your intention and with your visioning that it's already taken place, just like the people said in The Secret, where you speak it and you vision it. And the basis of all this is seek and you will find, ask and you will receive. There's a couple more. My people suffer for want of knowledge. And my people get not because they ask not. And it's like, well, if we get not because we ask not, what's keeping us from asking? Very simple question, you know? So there it is.
Basically, that was what Jesus was teaching.
Yes, and it took us, what, a couple thousand years to piece it all together and make it easy for people to understand, so you can actually get your own tribe together and you can work on them. And, you know, I can still heal one person at a time, but it's like, wow, if I can heal the entire group, that's really something. So you see how it went from just handling a single person to healing a group, a tribe, and then from healing the tribe to taking it absolutely global, to where we can shift maybe the entire global paradigm, universal paradigm. The guides of the planet want this to happen. I mean, this is not like, you know, wishful thinking on my part. This is actually strict obedience to their command.
Wow, with the internet the way it is now, you can reach so many people so quickly with webinars and all kinds of
things. That's where it's going. Can you imagine people in, say, 10 or 15 different countries gathering a group of their friends together? Now, okay, the key to this whole thing is the first time people are going to hear about this is on your radio show and at East West. And we're actually going to do the meditation at East West. And it's like, how much healing will be a blessing to you if you help heal the planet? What will the planet do for you in return? You know, especially the guides and masters of the planet. So it's a matter of, for years I was focused on how do we handle cancer and how do we handle Parkinson's and how do we handle AIDS and how do we handle, you know, and my focus was very, very small. Now the way I look at it is if we shift the universal hologram to health and happiness and peace and balance and thriving, what does that do for your health? And is the focus on just cancer or just heart disease or just some of these other major killers, isn't that too small a focus?
And, you know, it's interesting when you think about this, it's almost as if you're breathing in, you can breathe in all your ancestry, you know, because you have all this in background. And so it's almost at your fingertips already. And then it's like you take a sweater and you take one end of the yarn that the sweater's been knitted and you start just pulling and all of these diseases simply unravel.
The possibilities astound me. You know, one of my strengths is I can take a really complex subject and make it absolutely simple to understand. And in this book, it'll be, okay, get your group together. You know, step number two, invite your angels, ancestors, guides, masters, friends, family, all the great healers that have ever existed. You know, your Saint Germain and all of them. And then get them to agree to join you in this meditation or this healing process. Then you read line one and you have them do it, and you read line two and you have them do it, and you read line three and you have them do it. It's like if you can simply have the intention to make a difference and you step into that desire, mm-hmm. to go from complaining about the world situation to actually doing something positive towards it. Sometimes it's a big step because it's a responsibility. It's a caring. Now I'm not going to complain about it anymore. I'm going to call my friends. We're going to get them together and we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You have to step out of that comfort zone, just like starting your own business or just like launching a new product or just like writing a new book or whatever it is. You go from sitting on the couch thinking about it to stepping into that power and saying, okay, this is what I want to do. Now, part of my message here is I need help doing this. I need large groups of people to say, okay, this is our best shot at fixing the conflicted areas that we see on planet Earth. And I'm so tired of conflict and the news about conflict and how some people's opinion is that what we don't need negotiation. What we need is more war. We need to put troops on the, you know, all this sort of stuff. And it's like, my gosh, why isn't anyone saying we just need to shift the hologram? And, you know, if Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden are right, that we can actually reprogram it, here's the process. Here's the process. You know?
Wow. Just think if somebody's ancestor was Hitler and we've reprogrammed that whole
paradigm.
Yes.
Well, a lot of people at that time that thought he was the next best thing to white sliced bread. And they were sort of put into a trap with this man's charisma and his power and his control, and they were afraid of him then, and then he did a lot of damage to the planet. Hopefully we can shift that paradigm too, that power at all costs and greed at all costs and fear that's absolutely monumental. You know?
Paul, can you tell a little more what's going to happen at the East West Bookstore?
Okay, well, at the East West Bookstore, I'm going to tell the story of two shamans and a healer. I will have the book there so that they can purchase the book. I may take this radio broadcast and just put it on a CD and have it available for people. I don't know. Whatever. But I will probably have some notes on holographic healing to pass out to people. And just say, I'm needing a team of people that will work with me on this project, getting the word out. And, you can use Facebook, you can tweet it out, you can do whatever. I am social media challenged. Other than Facebook, really, really don't have a lot of grasp on a lot of this stuff.
Well, Paul,
and
you actually said it'd be really good.
People
Paul,
in the
you...
audience may have that ability, and I simply want to get the word out. That's the whole idea.
Paul,
and we're going to do a group healing
Paul,
process. Yes.
Okay. You actually said that you wanted, for people to come, but to bring a partner because you were going to work with them.
Yes.
In that
this
event.
An audience participation event. I only talk for about 10 to 15 minutes, and then we grab a partner and we go into it.
So you're going to actually teach them the healing method?
Yes, the whole idea. Okay, this is so different than everything else out there that you've got to experience it to believe it. Okay, it is an experiential process. You have to see it to believe it. I'm going to have some people videoing there because I'll use it in a little promotional video to send to TV and radio stations to... I'd like to be on Coast to Coast. I'd like to be on some of the bigger stages, getting the information out so that people start doing this. I can't do it all myself. And I'm willing to make the information available